Sometimes our patients even come in and they think that someone who hasn't had work done looks horrible because of work, because we have gotten to the point where we don't tolerate aging, especially in our celebrities. God, they have horrible work. I'm like, that's the no work look. Hey, babies. Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna Guanche. I'm so excited you're here. We plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty. Babies, I'm so excited to have Sheila Nazarian here. She is the model surgeon. She is someone who inspires me so much. I follow you on social media.
I follow you too.
And I'm so excited to have you here because you're a doctor. You have a full empire. You're a mom.
Great to be here. Thank you so much. I equally, I'm inspired by your amazingness, just holding it together. Look at how gorgeous and successful and all of the things. So
thank you.
It is a struggle for sure.
Yeah, to balance everything, right? And that doesn't even include marriage too, right? Mm-hmm. So there's marriage. Is your husband a doctor too?
Yeah, he's a neurosurgeon.
Oh my God. A neurosurgeon.
I like to say he's like the only person that would marry me. It's true. Plastic surgeons are married to either cardiothoracic surgeons or brain surgeons.
Wow.
Because they're higher on the totem pole. It's an ego thing. It's real.
It must be. I'm married to an orthopedic surgeon.
I almost went into orthopedics.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to do orthopedic surgery and then I had narrowed it down to hand microsurgery. Mm-hmm. And then I did one day of dermatology and I completely fell in love with derm. So I've never looked back. It was literally a half day, and I called my husband at lunchtime because he's 10 years older, so he was
mine
already
too. That's the only way, ladies.
We're
and
twinning.
Gentlemen.
We're so twinning right now. And by the way, also look how skinny she is, and she's on a diet.
Oh my God! So I used to be a dancer, and I was so skinny growing up. Like people used to, make fun of me and drop skeletons in my backpack during Halloween. Like I never had this struggle before, but I'm working out 5 days a week right now with a trainer and I'm 42. So I feel it in my joints. Yeah. And then, I think cardio makes you hungry. Yeah. So I try to like lift more than do cardio.
Yeah.
But right now it's basically like two hard boiled eggs, tuna mixed with either some like olive oil and pepper flakes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds low carbish.
Or salmon. Yeah. Carbs kill me.
Yeah.
Carbs are illegal in California.
Carbs are the devil, you guys.
I don't know if you've heard.
I'll tell you why in a minute.
Yeah. And then I'll do something with like meat or chicken and some veggies like broccoli, like green veggies.
So lean and work out.
Just lean. And then you get invited out to dinner and, oh, it's a vegan place. And, oh, all they have is carbs. And by the way, it's delicious. And then it just like blows it all up.
I know. Vegan is all carbs because you can't eat any meat. So
I know. I tried it. My husband went vegan and lost like 30 pounds. I went vegan. Oh. I gained 5 pounds in 2 days.
Oh, that's not my diet either.
Yeah,
I got you.
It doesn't
work.
Yeah,
I see you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has to figure out what's best for them, right?
Exactly. So
and
true.
And also what's interesting is a lot of times people will try to lose weight by doing cardio. And what happens is cardio makes you so hungry and you overshoot eating by 100 times.
I say that. You just want to eat a bowl of pasta.
Yeah. And so what happens is whatever you burn in that cardio session, you overshoot by eating
100%. So it's all about, I think like I tell my patients, and it was so funny because I've been saying this for like literally at least 5 years. And I always tell them, don't tell your doctor I said this to you, but don't do any cardio. Just lift weights. Just lift weights and go for long walks.
Yeah, walks are great.
Because cardio, it drains the blood of sugar. Mm-hmm. And that's why you get so hungry and you just want to sit down and eat an entire bowl of pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah, over the age of 40. For women, I just don't think the cardio is it. Yeah. And now, guess what? People are coming out being like, news flash, over the age of 40 for women, don't do cardio. And I'm like, I've been saying this forever.
Yeah, so interesting. Is that really coming out? Because I had a patient a long time ago, I used to teach aerobics and all this, and I knew her from a long time ago. She had a weight issue. And then she started working out a lot at the gym, getting fit. And then she became a trainer because she was so into it.
Yeah.
But she still had a little bit of a weight issue, but she was better, and dramatically better. So it was something everybody was proud of at the gym. Mm-hmm. And then I saw her as a patient a couple of years ago. I'm like, wow, you're more svelte, more thin than ever. And she's like, I just do yoga every day, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't do any cardio.
Yep.
She said, when I do cardio, I get so hungry, and that there's some evidence that shows that you get a cortisol response, like a stress response. And we know that cortisol makes you lay down more visceral fat. So you get that
abdominal.
And also
hold on to water.
Yeah, you hold on to water. Your body thinks that you're in a total stress mode. And so those stress hormones get secreted. And for whatever reason, and she's like, I feel better. My joints feel better. I'm thinner. I mean, she had a flat tummy. Mm-hmm. And I've known her for like 20 years. So now she's 50 and has a flat tummy for the first time. And she's not doing cardio. So
I'm telling you.
I guess it's like a, that it's was a thing. One of the things that got me to realize that I'll do Pilates, I'll do yoga, a low-carb diet, and then we do walk the dogs every single night. So,
which is such a great thing to do with your spouse, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'll go on walks with my husband. We live next, like, near the Bel Air Hotel, so we'll literally, like, walk to the Bel Air Hotel and back.
Yeah.
And during those talks, you, like, reconnect.
Yes.
And you, sometimes he'll say things to me that, like, I was like, wait, were you not going to tell me about that investment? Or, like, were you not going to tell me right? about, like, how did, like, if we didn't go on this walk, when were you going to let me know?
Right.
You know? So I just feel like it's a great time to reconnect and mm-hmm. sort of see nature, get a little bit of sunlight.
Yes. No so, sun.
All good
but
things.
But yes, otherwise, yes.
You can wear a hat.
You can wear a hat. Now, listen.
Yeah.
This is the thing. We walk the dog in the evening when it's pitch dark outside so I don't get any sun damage. I'm such
a weirdo.
You
know how I feel about the sun. I know derms and like their sunscreen and sun
yes.
is like a big thing. It's like a cult religion
yes.
situation. But I just feel like you need to get some, like, isn't there data showing that like you need sun for joy and happiness and happy hormones? And
so yes, there are a lot of people who do feel better in the sun. We don't know exactly which hormone that secretes, mm-hmm. but, and people need a vitamin D. Yes. You need your vitamin D converted basically to mm-hmm. D3, and that happens in your skin, but you can do that with 15 minutes of unprotected sun every 2 weeks. So you don't need to go laying out in the sun all day, say, I need my vitamin D, which is yeah. what everybody does, and fries themselves.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not like, you know, if you wear your sunscreen, you go out in the sun, you still get sun damage, but it's better for skin cancer. You know, you won't get as much skin cancer, but if you don't want wrinkles, brown spots, things like that, I mean, sun avoidance is really key.
Yeah. And there was also a study, which was really interesting, that I read with like 25-year-old surfers in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that study?
Mm-hmm-mm.
So I think the vitamin D levels that they've set as normal is completely like too high, because
right.
they did this study on 25-year-old surfers in Hawaii who were vitamin D deficient.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just don't think like, A, either you can't get all your vitamin D from the sun. It needs to come from food or vitamin supplements.
Yeah.
Or the level of normal that like
the
gods on high have set is too high. Because if the 25-year-old male
right.
surfer in Hawaii has vitamin D deficiency, we've probably set it too high.
But does he wear a wetsuit?
No, they don't.
No, it's Hawaii.
It's
they
Hawaii.
Don't wear a wetsuit.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. Okay. You're right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, some of that stuff, you just wonder, how did they pick that, you know, 30 or whatever is the exact number, and what's the exact science behind that? It's time to question everything. I feel like,
yeah, I question
to
everything.
Some extent, we should be, and we are in this culture now mm-hmm. questioning everything, because
yeah.
you hear something and you're like, wait a minute, is that really true?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not true? What's your evidence for it? Do I believe how the study was designed and structured, and whose agenda is behind that study?
Who's paying for it?
Who's paid for the study? And studies are so expensive that you almost can't find some objective studies, because there's always someone with an agenda now doing
or
a study.
Or if the study doesn't show what they wanted it to show, they'll never publish
it. They just
it.
Don't publish it. Yeah, yeah. So those are the kind of things that you take with a grain of salt, and you explain. You just say, hey, you know, yeah, but in the studies, they did this much. So just so you know, we might not see a 2-year result with this because we're not structuring it that way. We're not doing it that way. So it's just basically honesty. And I think people mm-hmm. feel honesty when they come to you and you present them with the options.
Yeah.
Especially we both work in the aesthetic world, that they feel and know whether they should trust instinctively. And, you know, sharing this kind of information is
yeah.
important.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten to the point in my practice, which is like so fun for me now. Like literally people walk in, they're like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Or they'll walk in and be like, you know, I want this. I'm like, okay, but here's what we're actually going to do. We're going to do this today. And they're like,
right.
okay.
yeah, because sometimes people come in and they think they want something and it's just not right for them. they might have seen it on another patient, even a patient that I did or mm-hmm, you did, mm-hmm. but that's just not their body and that's not their face. It's not your face. So I'm not going to do that for you, or I would rather not do that for you. Once in a while, somebody will really insist, and I'm kind of a softie, so they'll mm-hmm. be like, no, I really, really want more cheekbone really, really high. And then
yeah, I don't
next thing you know, even they are not happy. And you're like, well, you shouldn't.
Do you know what I tell them? I don't do it, and I tell them, listen, you're going to go out looking like Maleficent. And your friends are going to be like, oh, who's your doctor? And you're going to be like, oh, Dr. Nazarian. And they'll be like, okay, cool. I'm never going to her. Like, right. These people are like a representation.
They're your palette. They're your piece of art.
Yeah, exactly. So I just don't. I just stay true.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
And then, there are even doctors, I'm not sure how you feel about it, that won't correct other people's work because they don't
I'm correcting all day long.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'll tell them. I always encourage them to go back to their doctor. A lot of times people are coming from out of state.
Yeah.
So it's like not, I can't just be like, oh, walk down the street and get it fixed. A lot of times people don't know that they look like, a duck. And so I'm like, are we best friends now? Like, are we cool? Can I just tell you what needs to happen? And they're like, yeah, that's why I'm here. And then I'll let them know.
Yeah.
I always encourage, if it's like a patient from here, for them to go back to their physician and, have an honest discussion of what, they're not happy with. But right. a lot of times I feel like people don't know. I feel like Instagram or whatever influencer they're following has reset their definition of normal. And it's just not normal in any way, shape, or form. And I think we have to kind of like bring it back a notch and sort of say, you're here for a reason. You like what my before and afters look like. Here's my philosophy. And if you want to be my patient, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. That's empowered. I like that. You practice in Beverly Hills?
I do.
And I just go there once a month. I go to Beverly Hills and then I will be there and watching the people put the money in the parking lot and mm-hmm. they put the thing in the mud and I see their butt goes all the way out and then their boobs go all the way out and I say, God, that's just too much.
That's too much.
Too much is too
those
much.
Those are not my people.
No,
my
those people, are not her people.
It's so funny. Obviously. Whenever like my kids will be like, Mom, did you do like so-and-so celebrity her lips? And I'm like, no, you would never know
right, who
that
I
anything
did.
Happened because you can't tell they did anything.
You like, should that's not the be able point. To tell.
Yeah.
And I say, I just did my lips 3 days ago. So
I just did mine like 3 days ago too.
Oh my God, we're still twins. We're twins right now.
I did mine 3 days ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All day long.
Well, under this makeup, there's barely a little teeny bit of bruise left. But bottom line is, if y'all are watching this on YouTube and you're like, well, look at her on lamps. Well, they're not settled yet. They need 4 or 5 more days to calm down.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in that unnatural, weird look. And obviously you don't either, which I love about you.
Yeah, not at all.
And so, it's about counseling and saying, mm-hmm. hey, look, just because there's a trend or there's a celebrity that has this giant, crazy looking stuff, it doesn't mean that we need to do that. Plus, don't you think it's unsafe?
I mean, in certain situations, yeah, like the fat transfer to the buttocks, for example, putting a liter and a half on each butt cheek mm-hmm. is absolutely, I don't think I've ever put more than 300 ml on a butt cheek. So it's all about just shape and filling out divots and, making their waist look smaller by maybe giving them a little bit more projection.
A bubble butt.
Just a cute upside down heart. That's what I say.
There you go.
Yeah, but it is unsafe.
Yeah.
And it gives plastic surgeons a bad name too, because you're like, well, patients will, I'll tell them they should do something or maybe think about something. And they're like, well, isn't that unsafe? And so it just makes people,
right.
Or like, for example, breast implant illness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All my patients have my cell phone number. I've never had one patient reach out to me and say, I've had breast implant illness. But do you know why? Because my implants are like this big, right? So we're going by, natural by Nazarian is the hashtag, people.
Natural by Nazarian.
Natural by Nazarian. And so, the biggest implant I've ever put in is 350 ml.
Yeah.
And so when you keep them small, I always tell my patients, like, if I do 500 on each side, that's a liter of weight you have strapped around your neck. Like, if I took a liter of water with a string and wrapped it around your neck and made you carry that around for 5 years, what, you think you're not going to be fatigued? You think you're not going to have a headache? You think you're not going to have back pain? Of course you are.
I mean, historically, those are the boobs that we were reducing, or they were reducing, because people get back pain and now we don't want to be putting that in.
Yeah. So I've literally never had a patient reach out to me, and they all would reach out to me, trust me.
Yeah, that was, I feel like I'm like that too. Yeah. My patients DM me or they call me. They like, I actually would rather know what's going on with my patients I want to know first. And like, we call every single patient the next day after, I do procedures on them, because I like to understand what's going on with you and catch it early and see what's happening.
Yes.
And also I think patients feel cared for, but also I can't sleep at night if I'm wondering who's got what going on.
I'm like, whatever happened to so-and-so?
Yeah. And sometimes I'll literally work myself up to where I don't sleep the whole night. And then 99.999% of the time, that patient was fine. But I didn't sleep all night for some reason.
It's so funny. I used to be like that. And then one night my husband just turned to me and he's like, if you're going to behave like this, you should stop practicing medicine.
Oh.
And I was like, because, he's sleeping next to me. So if I'm tossing and
turning. And you're disturbing his sleep.
I'm disturbing him. And I'm like, okay, I got you. And it's in plastic surgery and I think in dermatology too. Like, it's not like brain surgery. Like, my husband always kind of humbles me. And he's like, if I make a mistake, then never walk again.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake, you just fix it. And that's really real. Do you know what I mean?
You're right.
So that's really helped kind of humble me and calm me down in that. Even if, something happens, let's say they get a little hyperpigmentation. Yeah, like, we have a laser for that. Yeah, we have a skincare product for that. So there's no reason to freak out.
No, you're right. 100% you're right. Yeah. 100% you're right.
Everyone needs a brain surgeon husband.
You can, and my husband's an orthopedic surgeon, which I'm very.
Does he do joints? What does he do?
Yeah, he does joint replacements. You know, sometimes people need blood transfusions. Major stuff.
Yeah.
Like, where people can
walk. We're so blessed that we're living in this, world of, minor.
That relatively
minor things.
Yes. Yeah. And so what happens is, though, because we're in a bubble every day at work and the people, and we care how people look and the people we see care about how they look, it starts to become very, very, very important. Mm-hmm. But you're right. When you think of, compare it to brain surgery or replacing a joint, then you're like, oh, okay, you know what? Overall, everything's going to be fine. Yeah.
It's true. You might have to come in a couple more times, but whatever, it's fine.
I guess so, but you still put people under anesthesia. I mean, there's some of that concern.
But again, my patients are all very, I'm the natural by cesarean person. I'm the small breast queen. That's another hashtag. Yeah. So literally all my breast implants, they all have I don't want to say I don't offer breast implants to all types of people, but usually the patients that want a B cup, they're pretty fit. Right. And they just want to have something because they've worked out themselves so hard. They have no breast. But if you look at the before and afters, I would say the majority of them are very fit and very healthy. And they just want to have a breast. They don't even want to have a big breast. They just want to have some breasts.
Like some little. Yeah.
You know, so they self-select. And in general, in plastic surgery, especially because of my social media and Instagram, my patients do tend to skew a little bit younger. I think COVID changed that a little bit. I think everybody was looking at the Zoom, looking at their neck with the Zoom on the table. Ooh. So I've literally in the last 2 years done more facelifts than, I can count. It's been insane.
It's been plastic surgery, cosmetic season.
It's been nuts. But I think our patients do tend to skew pretty young and pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. And also we put them through the ringer. I want to sleep well at night too.
Yeah.
So literally,
you just make
they're
sure
all
you
like,
ask them every freaking thing.
No, they're like EKG, their chest x-ray above a certain age, their echocardiograms. Mm-hmm, they get all their lab work done. So it's, and also I tell them if they're not a good candidate, I just say, you know what? I can't operate on you.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to sleep well at night. I'm not trying to have any complications. I always tell my patients I'm very well fed. I'm not starving. And therefore, I get to be picky.
And, that's also a very important point, is that you want to go to someone who doesn't need to sell you that next thing of filler, that next procedure. They don't need to. They're going to decide for you that that's right for you, but they're not desperate in any way, and they are doing fine. So sometimes you go to places in our world, a Medispa or something like that. And some Medispas are great, but some are just really want to sell that next syringe of filler, and maybe your face doesn't need that.
Or maybe you didn't need filler at all. Maybe you needed a buccal fat pad removal. Or maybe you need a facelift. Or maybe you need a tummy tuck, not Cool Sculpting. I can't tell you how many patients I've had who've had 3 or 4 kids and they're working out Soul Cycle 20 times a week. They have skin hanging and somebody Cool Sculpted them. I'm like, and that gives Cool Sculpting a bad name.
Right.
Do you remember when it had horrible ratings in the beginning? because people were like, this doesn't work. Well, you needed a tummy tuck, honey.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
Well, okay. Here's a good debate between plastic surgeon and dermatologist. There are lots of people who will never have surgery.
Yeah.
And you don't get that population because you are a surgeon.
No, I'm 50-50. 50%
of
my time. Yeah.
Okay. 50% of my time is spent. They're coming here because they don't want surgery. Like, they are scared of it.
In my practice, I'll tell them, you know, you can get surgery and get this type of result. Or you can get this non-invasive because we have 30 lasers.
And it won't
I have
be,
30 devices. And yeah. you'll get a 30% result. Or you can get this minimally invasive in between and you'll get a 40% right. result. And this is all based on studies. Like, I hate giving percentages unless it's that percentage right. comes from a study. But yeah, a lot of times people come to me and I'll tell them. Sometimes people come and yeah. I'm like, girl, I have all the lasers. I have all the toys. You need surgery. Because you have an umbilical hernia,
yeah, yeah.
you have a diastasis, your fascia's like tapped out from like your twins or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to waste your time. So when you're ready for surgery, come back. That's a conversation
The ideal is yeah. to have the whole gamut. And I always say to people, like, when you know you need surgery, when it's time, you'll know and you'll go. But if you want to do something between now and then, or yeah. you'll have a facelift and sometimes they say, I never want a facelift again. So we yeah. spruce up what you have going on right now. So there's a ton of people who don't want to do it or
100%.
They're getting there. They're just not ready
yeah.
yet.
And you know,
I'm not against plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you do fillers too. And you also use non-invasive devices because mm-hmm. I find a lot of plastic surgeons are on a campaign against injectables or on a campaign against energy devices, but then they go and buy that same device, or then they have an injector in their office. And I'm like, I thought you're against it, but then
I always say, like, people will be against either what they don't know because mm-hmm. they've never put their hands
or
on
what
that device
by.
Or what they're threatened, especially right. financially by.
Which is interesting because the person that I'm referring to is going to be on this podcast soon and I'm going to give him a really ball busting. And because he's like constantly degrading fillers in every way possible, but bad fillers, bad filler, bad surgeries, bad surgery.
100%.
And also a lot of my patients that I do filler on for years, I then refer to a plastic surgeon to, because they're ready. At some point, it's not one or the other. It's usually both.
It's both. And I tell my patients, like, even a facelift, I will put them on a microneedle radio frequency like regimen for the rest of their lives. Because I always tell them the surgery doesn't change the quality of your skin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
These devices do. And there's a reason why at the age of 45 or 50, you're needing a facelift, right? Your collagen genetically just is on a decline faster than maybe somebody else. And so I always tell them either you do these energy-based devices to shove the collagen and the elastin back into your skin, actually change the quality of your skin, and that will make the surgery last longer. Or we do the surgery, we move the mountains, and then we come and pick up the pebbles that fell along the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So all my patients are getting both, essentially.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then great skincare.
Great skincare.
Great skincare 100%. Is very important.
I always tell people, like, you know, getting your stuff done with a surgeon is, you know, like, think of making a bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can tuck the sheets in as tight as I can and make it, you know, taut and beautiful. But if the sheets are wrinkled and stained, nobody wants to sleep in that bed.
Right.
So we have to clean the sheets.
That's very good.
Iron the sheets and then tuck the sheets, mm-hmm. right? And then that's what you get at a hotel when you go and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. And then there's the other question that I know comes up for both of us all the time is, isn't there one thing you can do that I never have to do anything else again?
I always just throw that back to them. Like, that's like me giving you a six pack and you asking me if you ever have to work out again.
Right. Oh, that's like me saying you wash your car once and you're done. Your car's washed.
Yeah.
You wash your car and then it gets dirty again. You wash it again. If you never wash your car, it'll be horrible in a year.
Yeah.
But if you wash your car every couple weeks, it's great. So people are like, can't you just do one laser treatment and then I'm done and I never do anything else again? I go, no.
No.
You're alive. You're not a mannequin. You're alive. Like, you know, things are changing.
Yeah.
Why doesn't every extremely wealthy celebrity look like they did in their 20s?
Yeah.
They would if they could. They have the money and they're visible and very public, but you still see changes happening. And so sometimes I'll have patients even come in mm-hmm. and they think that someone who hasn't had work done mm-hmm. looks horrible because of work, because we have gotten to the point where we don't tolerate aging.
Yeah.
Especially in our celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you do work and you're aging, then they criticize that a little bit, or they don't do any work and they age, and people are like, God, they have horrible work. I'm like, that's the no work look. That's the look you get when you do nothing. And then all the wrinkles come in and the sagging, like, why is that happening? I'm like, because that's what unfortunately happens unless we do things regularly to fight it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where it just cracks me up. Can't you just do one thing? I'm like, no, I wish.
Yeah.
I'd have done it already.
Yeah, exactly. And if there was one thing, why would we need surgery? Why would we need, you know... Why would we exist if there was just one thing?
Yeah, if we were just, I wish we could just be like jellyfish. Yeah. Did you know jellyfish are immortal?
Oh, no.
Yeah, their cells are exactly the same from the time they're born. They only die from injuries. They're certain jellyfish.
Oh.
And their tissues are immortal. So their cell has the same integrity that it did in the beginning. It doesn't age, so.
They don't have telomeres.
We got to figure out how to harness that jellyfish energy.
Yeah.
We're all going to be jellyfish bioluminescent vibes. Before it's over with. It's not all of them. There's only certain types. So y'all look it up. Okay, so you have two kids. Is it boy and girl?
I have three kids.
Oh, you have three kids.
I do. And
she's
and
a slight
dog.
Overachiever.
And
a dog.
And my husband's occasionally a fourth child.
I only have two
okay.
kids and three dogs, and but I have five chickens now.
Girl, that
do
put you
have
over
a chicken
the top.
Yet?
No chickens.
No, I'm just kidding.
I have fish.
You have fish?
Three
I have fish,
fish
too. I have
there
a koi pond.
You do? Okay. I made it. I made the pond available, but I just still keep them in the aquarium because I'm afraid I'm going to forget to walk outside and feed them.
Oh, you won't.
I might.
She might.
You got to know your strengths and your weaknesses.
You
got to
know, also don't have any plants then. Do you have plants?
I have plants. I'm good with plants.
Oh, you're good with plants.
I don't know why.
You're gonna
like every Sunday, I water all the plants.
Really?
And do you know what I got? I got an in the kitchen... like, what do you call it that you put all your food waste in it and it creates dirt?
Composting.
It's like but it doesn't smell. It's like this new thing they sent me. So I've been composting and making my own dirt.
See, you know how I compost? My chicken.
See?
Everything that we juice every day.
Yeah.
Our juicing and all our vegetables and everything that's left over goes to the chicken.
See?
That's why they say it's for the birds. That's an old saying for the chickens. They just eat anything.
That.
Yeah. So,
there you
and we
go.
Get fresh eggs.
I love that.
Okay, you gotta get on it.
I gotta
That's
get my chickens.
Project.
I have space for the chickens, but we have coyotes. With I don't know, that would be kind of sad. I actually have a friend who had a chicken, and the coyotes.
The coyotes ate it.
It's so sad, and they cried, and the kids cried, and I'm just like, I don't know if we're ready for that.
No,
my daughter's
but
a
ours
cancer.
Is in a glass enclosure that's like inside our house. Kind of hard to describe. So we do have coyotes, but they can't get in there. So
See, that's why I'd have to take notes.
Create some sort of. Thing. It's very important. I think Dr. Nazari needs to add that to her list of things to do because she's barely functioning and
I'll
barely
put it on my list of things for my
anything,
assistant to do.
Right? For
so
your assistant to do.
That. Yeah.
That's why you have your assistant feed the koi.
I have so, yeah. There's so many things.
Do you have a personal assistant and an executive assistant?
I have many. I have a personal assistant. We just got an armed guard who acts also as an assistant. I have a COO, we have managers for every company, and then, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because I always like to learn from people, like, how do you expand yourself? How do you do more things? And that's the only way is to delegate, right?
Delegate to very capable people.
To very capable people, yeah.
Yeah, which is hard to find.
So when you say companies, can you tell us what companies?
Yeah, so I have Nazarian Plastic Surgery. I have Spa 26, which is our spa.
Okay.
We have Nazarian Skincare, which is an umbrella brand. I have the Skin Spot, which is our e-commerce site.
Your online site,
Our online site, where we sell many brands, not just ours. And then I have Nazarian Institute, which is my nonprofit. Underneath that is Think Big, which is our business education platform, like business and branding to healthcare, because we don't really learn that at all.
Yeah, we don't.
And then I'm coming out with another company, which is going to be like an educational site that you could upload, for example, your technique and for lips, and then you could sell that.
I see.
To people who want to learn from you.
So there's a platform like that, like OnlyFans. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, it's what's the name of that platform? Masterclass.
Yeah.
Masterclass. But then there's another one that's for everyone and anyone. Starts with a P. I can't remember. And it's like a paid subscription. So monthly you pay a subscription.
Patreon. Yeah.
And
it's
then,
different from Patreon. We looked into
is
that.
Is it?
Yeah.
And basically,
I think like people don't want to pay... subscriptions necessarily. So it's a little different.
Okay.
A little bit more.
How's it different? Tell us.
No, it'll because I got soon. Okay. I'll let you know.
So this is what I do. This is what I do. I put my procedures online and I'm constantly doing procedures and they're all out there for people to see. And my colleagues, some are like, oh, cool. But a lot of them are like, why are you doing that? Why are you putting all that, all of our, you know, information out there and our techniques and everything? And then my philosophy
That's a very derm thing, by the way.
I guess, right?
It is. It's a very derm thing. Because I come under fire from the derms all the time. Like, all the
Same
time.
What? Am I going to get in trouble for having you on the show?
Probably.
I'm always in trouble with the derms, by the way.
No, I mean, I love the derms. I'm not trying to, like, be a derm. I'm a plastic surgeon. I worked very hard for that. And, you know, like, I'm a plastic surgeon. But like I said, in order to get great results, I learned very early on that I can't have dirty sheets. You know, I can't. I can't have dirty sheets. So, and we learn all that stuff. Like, lasers are part of our boards. Skincare is part of our boards. We have to know that. Oh yeah, we have to know that. So, yeah, I think a lot of people maybe don't know that. But for example, I was removing like a skin tag, and I have a derm in my office. Yeah. By the way.
Oh. Okay.
But I was removing a skin tag, and people were like, with a plasma pen. Okay. People were like, that's a... And it went on your Facebook group. So all the derms...
Oh, my Facebook group.
Yeah.
Like that's a secret
it's
group.
It's like whatever. So the derms all of a sudden... blah, 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 blah. I'm like, we have a dermatologist in the office. A. B. If I thought it was suspicious, I would biopsy it. C.
Right.
And I'm fully capable of doing that, by the way. And, you know, like, see, like, calm down. Like, what's, I mean, I appreciate your concern and your passion.
Right.
I am a doctor. And believe it or not, I'm a great doctor. And I can say that after 8 years of being out. Again, know your strengths and know your weaknesses. The other thing, too, is, like, I think a lot of times when people are threatened, just similarly how, like, you think some, you know, plastics are threatened by lasers and what derms do really well.
Yeah.
I think derms are sometimes threatened when plastic surgeons give skincare advice, whereas we're fully capable of doing so. I'm not trying.
Oh, my God. I'm not worried about the plastic surgeon giving skincare advice. There's, like, every Tom, Dick, and Harry
giving skincare advice.
Exactly. That's the least of my concerns.
But I think it is a little bit of a threat sometimes.
Well, I think what happens is I don't find that as a threat, but maybe they do. But
yeah. And then they think like, oh, she's only successful. And I get this from plastics too, by the way, not just derm, but I get it from my own colleagues for a while, up until maybe like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, she's only successful because of Instagram. Or like, I'm sure you get this maybe
I get
too.
That. Yeah.
And so, but I think what needs to be said is that no, first you need to be a good doctor.
Right. You can't retain people. Yeah, you can't function.
Exactly.
If you're not
and you need to like
do.
Take good care and actually care about your patients. And then you go out there, and especially as women, I think it's, and maybe you guys can take note. I think as women in school, you just stay quiet.
Yes.
You pour everything you know on a piece of paper and you get that A+.
Yes.
Well, guess what? After school, unless you're standing up and saying, this is what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. Come to me and I can help you. Mm-hmm. Unless you stand up and advocate for yourself, no one's paying attention to you unless you did something really stupid.
Right.
Right? So I think as women, we have to like be empowered, and men too, but we have to be empowered to be able to stand up and say, this is what I'm good at. And if you guys need help with this, come to me. I can help you. And if you don't stand up and say, this is what I'm good at, no one will come to you.
It's so refreshing.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. It's true, because I think that women don't speak out. And when I raise my babies around here, like my little babies, I'm always like, go do it. Like,
yeah,
you know, talk.
Exactly.
And so, cause we get shy. Girls get shy sometimes.
No, but it's
and
not even
don't.
Shy. I think girls were taught that if you stand up and you tell people what you're good at, it's somehow showing
it's
off.
It's too egotistical.
It's
but
showing
when
off
a guy does it, that's okay.
But if a guy does it, I mean, honestly, like there's 31 plastic surgeons just in my building. Mm-hmm, plastic surgeons, right? Mm-hmm. Just in my building. Not in Beverly Hills. In my building. And
are you in 401?
Like,
are you on Bedford?
No, Spalding.
Spalding.
And like they can stand up and say, I'm the God's gift to plastic surgery. And they're okay. They're not giving out their cell phone numbers. They're not actually like staying up at night like you and I are worrying about patients.
Yeah, you're right. They're not.
They're not.
Yeah.
You know? And so if we just stand up and say, I'm really good at this, come to me, they're like, oh, that, what's she up to again?
She's egomaniac. Like, but you know, your detractors are not even always just the men. They can be the women as well, who find it very like, off-putting when you're when you toot your own horn or you think you're great at something. I don't say I'm great at stuff. I feel I'm great at stuff. That I mean, professionally, I feel I'm really good.
Yeah.
But I say I love my job, which is 100% true, mm-hmm. and I am willing to share. So that in itself might be an indication if you're willing to share your technique and do procedures and be videoed doing procedures that you feel good about what you do, that you're confident in your technique. So I think to some extent, even that alone can make people feel like, oh, who does she think she is?
And I've heard from derms too, like injecting is your equivalent of what I do with a scalpel.
Yeah.
So giving away your
techniques, your secrets, I know.
Is very, but what I'm saying is this new platform I'm putting out, you could put a teaser video and then say, if you want to watch my entire technique, go to this site.
Yeah, where I explain exactly how I choose the filler, exactly what maybe anatomic landmarks I'm looking at.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then exactly how I'm injecting and, you know, all that. So, yeah, that would be a great platform. Maybe I'll be on her platform soon.
I will let you know ASAP. I'm not going to tell you yet.
We don't have a name yet.
No, we have a name. It's set. Oh. It's actually live, but I want to actually upload an A-B test with my own videos first to make it perfectly ready.
Okay.
And then invite people over, like some maybe like five people to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And then see how you're generating and, you know, kind of and how I can generate for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
By sending traffic to the site. And then we can go from there. But yeah, I will definitely include you on the short list. How's that?
Wow, yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm honored. So, I mean, so people do give me a hard time for sharing. And so I've been trying to be a little more subtle about how you see my injections, but I never feel threatened for some reason. I don't feel like, oh, I'm going to show people what I do and they're going to pick up a needle and be able to do that. I don't think that people can watch someone else do something and then just pick up a needle and do it.
Well,
I just don't know that.
Let me tell you why.
Because I've trained enough people that I know that's not the case.
Not just that. You know, there's so much. Like, for example, when I used to do a breast lift, right?
Yeah.
I would have to measure and remeasure and then put in some sutures and then remeasure and then adjust. Now, I just literally walk in and I just make the cuts on the lines I drew before and it comes into place. And I'm like, I don't even know how to teach
because
that.
Because it's like that 10,000 hours.
It's that 10,000 hours.
Skin lines. And people go, oh, don't you need to mark my face before you, don't you need to like,
and you're like, no, you don't.
I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Exactly.
But like, and so that's the other thing. I laugh because I see on Instagram some very well-regarded doctors, and I love their work too, but they'll draw a lot of like diagrams, erase them all, and then do the injections. And it's like,
But I mean, that's a selling technique. I respect that. Like, so, I went to business school too. Like, I respect that.
Because that's all it's for. Because you guys, they're drawing all the markings of where they're going to go and then erasing everything, cleaning it off, and then injecting where they're going to inject, which is the art of injecting. You know, it's real time. It doesn't matter where your little lines are, but it makes people feel like you're very scientific about it. The truth of it is there's a lot of art to it. And there's a lot of subtle cues in the skin, the way the skin folds, the way it is. People go, do you need me to make expression? I'm like, I don't need you to make expression. I know exactly where the way your skin is, what I need to do and where it is. But it makes people feel better if you draw, especially in videos, if you draw...
Yeah.
But see, you guys don't share your surgical techniques.
I mean, I have the model surgeon, which is on Instagram, where I was showing my entire surgeries.
Like, your whole thing? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But
okay.
So I was just thinking, like, why am I giving this away?
Yeah.
Like, I know for a fact
that
people that are not necessarily even plastic surgeons are watching these videos and learning my techniques.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? If they're going to do that anyway, I might as well be monetizing on it. And I might as well be allowing my colleagues to monetize as well.
Right. No, I know. It's true. And I've thought about that. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm more egotistical. I guess in that sense, I'm like, you can watch it all you want. You know.
No, I'm gonna convert.
But I think it might be smart to have an official platform. And I think that's what my colleagues are trying to say. Like, you should be doing live demos at meetings and not just posting, like, all your techniques
online. I'm telling
you.
I got you, boo. Don't worry.
You got me?
I got you.
Well, I have a whole bunch of content already.
That's, I know. We all do, though, right?
Right?
We all do.
It's like a full-time job.
And I just spent my, like, staff treatment day, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I turned it into a full-blown teaching session on film that I can upload and... You know, monetize
that's
on.
Like a win-win for everybody.
Super easy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take down all the videos that
you are?
Show everything. Yeah, I am.
That would be a lot of videos for us.
I know, but, you know, there's no reason why you need to be giving it away for free. I know. I think as women, we're like, I just want to share.
That's part
of it. I just
want
to give back. Whereas, like, you're devaluing all your, like, talent and you know, what you have to offer. And so I just say, you know, done with that.
I want to say something about what you said before about dermatologists, that they tend to want to keep things more secretive. I feel like they have two different categories. They might be more procedurally secretive, but when it comes to medical derm,
yeah,
there's atlases, there's treatment regimen, alternative treatments, like everything you could ever want to know about skin condition.
What's the difference?
I don't know. But
yes, you do.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
What is it?
It's all follow the money.
Oh, follow the money. Yes, but that is money too. That is your livelihood as a dermatologist. Like, it'll be pityriasis rosea, every different picture of it. This is the first line, second line, third line treatment. You can find it easily online. And I'm like, attorneys don't do that. Attorneys are like, here, pay us $50 and download this form. But for some reason, dermatologists historically just give away atlases and atlases of online information treatment regimens and updated stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's just available online for anyone to see.
Yeah, but who's going to go looking when it came and to monetize procedures, on that? Who's going to monetize on that?
Well, they shouldn't. Well,
they can't.
Monetization in the sense of, like,
but
people
keep
need to see you to find out what's the proper treatment.
Well, I'll tell you. I will tell you. Like, I agree with you and what you're saying. And I do think that that kind of derm, the medical derm,
right,
is going to be taken over by AI very quickly. You're going to go to Rite Aid. You're going to put your rash underneath a scanner. The AI is going to scan it. And with 99% accuracy, it's going to tell you what kind of rash you have and what kind of medication you need. So I think that side of medical derm is going to go away.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys are.
It's procedures that matter.
It's procedures that matter. Yeah. And that's why they don't want you sharing the procedures.
I don't think there's a unified, unfortunately, a unified voice.
Whether they realize
it
or not. I think
one thing I will say of all of medicine is there's no unified voice, because everybody has a very strong opinion and everyone's very, very intelligent. And so they don't end up all agreeing on things. So unfortunately.
But isn't that like medicine though? I mean, it is an art. It is an art though. And it is about asking and questioning and re-questioning.
Right?
That's what medicine is.
It is, but we don't have PAs, for example, have a unified voice.
We're not allowed to have a unified voice.
And
they don't allow us to unionize. We're not allowed to.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But also we are not of that nature anyway. We would not be able to agree on an agenda anyway.
Yeah.
Because we're just like, I don't know, just something about doctors. I'm not sure, you guys. But like attorneys, they will all band together. Accountants, they will band together. Insurance people, and they'll figure out what their agenda is and push forward as a unified front. But doctors are like, I don't know.
We do
it's
have
like herding
certain
cats.
Areas. No, we have certain areas, because I'm involved in some of the advocacy for California Society of Plastic Surgeons.
Yeah.
I've gone to Sacramento. I've lobbied. So no, I think that there is some things that are unified. For example, can nurses practice on their own without, you know, doctor supervision? So that was a very unified voice from the doctors going into lobby against that. So I think there's certain things where everyone kind of
does agree. I guess that might be one thing. But that, yes, in that sense, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other like in between things that I'm like, come on, people, get on the same page so we can make something happen.
Yeah.
And it's just it's always like the person in the room that has to be the most right. So instead of having this attitude of how can we yes and, like you do in improv, like how can I get behind what you're saying and say yes to what you're saying and move it forward? It's like, how can I pick it apart and be like, well, no, not that's not exactly right, and that's not exactly true, and blah, blah, blah. And so doctors have that nature. I'm not sure why. I feel like they do. And so we don't end up like as much getting a unified voice. But we're going to switch gears. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about – we're going to do the wheel. Let's do the wheel.
Wheel of Fortune. What's the wheel?
The wheel. It's the wheel of blankety-blank, because I'm not supposed to say Wheel of Fortune. It's just a wheel. A spin the wheel. I hope you get the jelly beans. What? Every time I say, I hope you get something, somehow everybody gets it, but maybe you'll be different. Let's see.
Okay. Do I just spin it this way?
Yeah, spin it. Oh, she didn't get jelly bean. It's okay. It's wear it or tear it.
Oh.
Okay, wear it or tear it.
All right, wear it or tear it.
Okay. Balenciaga gloves.
Wear it.
Wear it, right?
Yeah.
And then what about tiger print?
Wear it.
I could see you wearing tiger print.
Yeah, I'm crazy with my fashion.
Yeah, all right.
The model surgeon, hello.
She's the model surgeon.
Not guys, next to her. She's the model derm right now. Okay, go ahead.
You got it? Well, we have so many things similar. It's kind of crazy.
I know.
I'm like very inspired by you. I find you like amazing. But you're like next level with all the different projects. It's pretty cool. Okay, so sequins pantsuit.
100% wear it. Oh, wear my God. Are you kidding? I think I have. I actually have an ombre one that starts out silver and then gets lavender and then gets purple.
Oh, that I like.
So cute.
I like that.
So cute.
I just wore a green plunging neckline sequin dress for my husband's birthday party.
I'm sure he was very appreciative.
Yeah, right? He picked it out. And then everyone else was wearing boots and sweaters because it was raining. And here I am in my full-length sequin green gown. It was fun, though. I don't care. I like being the one that was the most dressed up in the room or the one
I'm
that
Persian.
Stands out.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing, right? I'm Persian.
I'm Persian.
In a nutshell.
Gold. Everything
she's,
gold. Okay,
she's
go.
Persian. Yeah, add more ornate
yes.
stuff. Okay, what about a latex dress?
Oh, I have a latex dress.
Okay, she's going to say yes to everything. Moon boots, knee-high boots.
Oh, I love those.
A black outfit.
Hello,
she's wearing
I'm
one
Persian.
Right now.
This is my uniform.
I love it when she fucking cracks me up. I love her.
Okay, should I spin
the wheel
again? Oh my God, I got
what?
The same thing.
What?
Oh my God. I'm so consistent. Okay,
jelly beans.
What's jelly beans? I'm not eating them.
You're not?
No.
Aww.
I told you carbs are illegal in California.
Oh, she can't eat candy right now. She's on a special
I literally
diet.
Cannot. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm spinning again.
Okay, free association.
Okay.
I say a word and you say whatever the first word is that comes to mind, okay? Just one word.
Okay, I'm scared.
Fast. Plastic.
Fast.
That wasn't fast.
Wait, you said plastic?
Plastic.
Oh, surgery.
Okay. Slice.
Bread.
Travel.
Blog.
Rejuvenation.
Clinic.
Good. Tissue?
Paper.
Bubble.
Gum.
I was thinking bubble butt. I was going to say bubble butt. Implant.
Breast.
Okay. BBL.
Skin rejuvenation.
That was more than one word. Reduction.
Breast.
Sweat.
Tears.
Glowing.
Skin.
Model.
Surgeon.
Yay! Hourglass.
Figure.
And then tight.
Vagina.
Woo! Okay, do you guys have the Mona Lisa?
We have the Diva.
The Diva.
Yeah.
Is that CO2?
No, it's erbium.
Oh, erbium.
I'm like an erbium girl. I just think like it's more advanced. Come on.
Nicer results.
People just have CO2 because it was the first thing.
It was the first resurfacing.
And then now everybody's walking around with like raccoon eyes and it's because of CO2.
Burnt. I tell my patients.
Erbium's better.
I don't have a CO2. Fraxel. I have the erbium Fraxel and people ask me why and I'm like, because it looks good for a year or two and then when it heals it's like white fibrous skin. It's like super weird looking. It almost looks like being a burn victim to me.
The CO2.
Sorry everyone, whoever loves CO2 Fraxel.
Yeah,
but anyway.
No, erbium's better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do think so. Yeah. But this is a CO2 for the vagina and she has an erbium bag for
the vagina.
It actually tightens your vagina and helps reduce.
Oh, it's fantastic. Can I just tell you guys? So I literally take before and afters like a crazy psychopath person. Like yeah. I made so much of an investment in my before and after room, my cameras, my lighting, everything. So it's like consistent because we both speak a lot. So, you know, when you put up your slides, it needs to look amazing and consistent, same lighting, blah, blah, blah. I was so scared to get a vagina laser because how am I going to take a before and after of the inside of your vagina, right? And if somebody comes back, because a lot of times, and I will tell you, like people will come and they'll be like, I don't see a difference in my skin. And then you show them the before and after and they sign up for like three more.
Yeah.
Because they forget what they used to look like.
People do
forget. But like, what do I do with someone if they're like, oh, my vagina laser didn't work. But you know what? I haven't had one patient complain.
Really?
Not one. And I've had this laser now for like, I want to say 5 years.
Yeah.
And not one patient has complained. They all are like legit so happy. Their partners are happy. They're not peeing on themselves. It improves moisture. Mm-hmm. It improves the milieu in there because the receptors that come out, make the good glycogen. And so they're not getting yeast infections. They're like, it's all to the good.
It's all good.
All good.
Yeah. So what's the name of your device?
Diva.
Diva.
It's the Cyton.
Cyton Diva. Because we were looking at the Mona Lisa because for some reason, I looked at it a few years ago and then my patients, for some reason, I don't know if it's a universal sign, came in, two of them last week, and mentioned the same device. And like, it's so good. And
Tell you why I went with, so I try out every laser I get, at least on either myself or at least on like three people.
Yeah.
But the reason why I liked this one is because it's a disposable tip.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not shoving the same thing into people, like the Mona
Other
Lisa.
People. The Mona Lisa is not this. Not
you just you autoclave it and then stick the same thing in. So that was one.
Autoclave.
Okay, that was one. Number two, the disposable tip actually expands the inside of the vagina. So as you know, the vagina is rugated.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so if
yeah.
you don't expand it, you're just hitting the peaks. You're not hitting the actual whole thing.
Ah.
So when this dilator goes in, and then it doesn't hurt. It's just it's the size of like whatever.
A baby's head.
No, like a vibrator. So anyway, so you put it in and then it rotates and comes out. So it's literally hitting every bit of the wall. Whereas the Mona Lisa, it's very manual. So you put it in, you fire it, then you turn about a centimeter and fire it. Then you turn about a centimeter and then you come out about a centimeter.
Right.
So it's very like human estimated. And I just liked how this one is literally expanding and then you just hold it there.
Yeah.
You're not moving anything. You just hold it and you press the button and it coils its way out but hits the entire wall.
Does it do the external labia too?
The external labia, I use microneedle radio frequency. I think it works better.
Yeah.
I also have a radio frequency, which works great too.
Yeah.
But now microneedle radio frequency, I think works better.
It hurt.
Yeah. I don't think
you guys can get away with a little bit more on the vagina because it absorbs numbing really well, topical anesthetic really well because it's mucosal skin.
Yeah,
and the stratum corneum is really thin, so you can put numbing in it and then not feel anything. So don't worry if you're cringing out there.
The same, it's basically Halo for the vagina.
Yeah.
So on the platform, I have Halo, so I could use Halo on the outside, but I just think microneedle radio frequency works better.
Cool.
And I have all the toys, so I get to play.
Yeah, she's like me. Yeah. I try everything on myself first. I do everything on myself first, and if I like it, then I'm like, okay, we'll offer this at the office.
Exactly.
Most of my patients are like me anyway, so.
We are our ideal client.
Yeah, we are like the one that does a lot of filler, but you can't tell, maybe.
I have so much on my face. It's okay. All
the
filler.
We are blessed. It's a very fun specialty.
It is.
Yours and mine both.
It is.
So, okay, which do you like better, surgery or non-invasive stuff?
Honestly, like at this point, I'll tell you that the challenge of it is kind of gone, so of both. So I think that the joy comes from the people and talking to my patients and hearing their stories and maybe how they sold their company or where they came from and what movie they're working on now or whatever. So I get joy, from them being happy, but I feel like that's why they came and I feel like that's my job. And the analogy I like to give, and I actually went through like a crisis last year where I was like, what's my why? But I just feel like, you know, every doctor gets into it to help people, but I feel like that's my job. That's why people pay me, is to help them. So if you go to like someone who makes tacos, they're not going to say making tacos is their joy. It's by bringing families together or it's by the people they meet. So I feel like for me, doing surgery and giving people the results they were hoping for is my job. That's what they paid me for. So my why really now is really creating a legacy for my children, and also maybe influencing the masses through my platform, or, you know, just empowering people, like, and inspiring people, like you said. That's really my why at this point. It's not so much the results that I get from doing my job that people pay me to do.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I still like my job.
I like my job. No, I'm not saying I don't like it.
No, I didn't say she doesn't like it, but but I do agree with you. It's the people you're connecting with in your day-to-day work. Because you have the techniques down. I think we've talked about this in a previous podcast.
You,
I could do this like
In your sleep.
In my sleep, I can do this procedure. So, I can do it automatically.
So when something's no longer challenging to you,
right?
How does that thing in and of itself bring you joy? It really doesn't as much. It still brings you, like the process might still bring you joy, or the people you meet that you're helping might bring you joy. But putting the syringe of filler in someone's lip might not have the same high it did when you were a resident.
It
you were
did, just yeah, doing it for the first time. When you were just starting out. I don't know. I kind of like it. I don't know. You know, I have always been baffled by the fact that I don't get tired of it. It's probably, I don't know whether it's a good or a bad thing, but I'm just never, never sick of
it. I'm not tired of it. I'm always looking for a challenge, I think. And I'm always looking to learn and grow in new ways. And I feel like that has been sort of mastered. And I'm going to keep doing it because I like it, and I took a long time for me to master that, and it's helping people. And
but
I think
what's your next challenge? And
like for example, starting the e-commerce site. You know, like I had to learn the language of e-commerce,
right?
And that was cool. And then I starting the nonprofit. Then I had to learn the language of a nonprofit, and that was cool.
And so, I think that's it. That's the curious mind that you have. You want to do the next thing, and people ask me. And you're on a whole another level than me, but people ask me all the time, like, you're doing a podcast and you're going to do this. I've got some other projects in the works. Yeah. And then you do, how do you do everything that you do? And I'm like, I don't know, but I like it. I want to learn about something new.
And you know
what
I always say that when you're happy and when you're fulfilled, it makes you a better doctor.
Yeah.
Right. So if you weren't challenged and I think that's the definition of burnout, right? Because I think physicians in general are curious and we are conquerors and we are learners for life. And I think that what happens and why you hear about burnout in physicians so much is people, you know, finish their boards, they start their office, and then they're expected to just like die with a scalpel in their hands. And that's all we were really ever given permission to do. And as soon as you start to pivot or as soon as you start to explore other things, you're like bashed in the head by your colleagues. What are you doing? How dare you? We gave you the opportunity to train you. And why aren't you just doing that full time?
Right.
But what happens is when doctors get out, as soon as it becomes maybe a little less challenging when they've conquered it and they don't feel permission to do and try other things and be a whole person, they burn out because they get, you know, like this was it. Like my whole life I trained for this. I gave up my 20s. I gave up my early 30s. And this is it.
You know, I think it's interesting. That's a totally different perspective on burnout. I've never really thought of it that way.
But you're not allowing yourself to burn out because you are exploring all aspects of the whole you.
And I do get some heat. I do get
some heat. Oh my God.
But
I get fire.
Yeah, but I mean, on the other hand, I'm being more true to myself.
Exactly.
When I am creative in certain ways and do things differently. Yeah. And I feel I'm being true to myself in a different way. And I have served my patients for many, many years, and I continue to do so, like you said, but it's just branching out a little bit and doing it a little bit differently,
100%.
More creatively.
And don't you think that makes you a happier person?
Yeah,
and therefore a happier doctor is going to do better work with patients.
For sure. Yeah. And then my patients, it's not robotic. It's not like, I'm going to do the same procedure again on someone. I know all my patients, like you said, and I ask them about their life and I try to learn something from them. Mm-hmm. And so I just find them fascinating because they're doing something completely different than you're doing or I'm doing. And so it makes me very excited to kind of understand that there's so many different ways to live life and do things and get ideas. So that keeps me fulfilled.
Yeah, I always tell my patients, like, growing up, I only knew of 5 jobs.
Yes.
I didn't know.
I had 3 options: doctor, lawyer, engineer.
For us, it was doctor, lawyer, dentist, engineer, pharmacist.
Okay. Pharmacist. Okay.
I had 5 jobs. That was it. And so now seeing like, wait, you do what on the set? Or like, wait, huh? You are like streaming videos while you're playing video games? Like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
But it's just, that's really cool too. And I think it helps me be a better parent because I'm going to allow my kids to really explore their passion and their talents. And I know that there's many ways to be successful. Whereas, you know, growing up, you know, Persian, there was only one way.
Yeah, you know, I'm half Armenian. My dad's Armenian.
Oh, there you go.
So my dad's like doctor, lawyer, engineer.
Yeah.
Those are the 3 things. Everything else is nothing. Everything else is like literally this conversation regularly. But the bottom line is like I wanted to be a writer, an actress, a dancer. I wanted to be a gymnast or anything. Like, you know, when you're 10, 11, right? And they're like, no, you can't do that. You can't make a living doing that. So But I'm glad I went to medical school. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I did it. But I feel like that creative person is still in there, and now I can express it more.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I think having the MD behind your name gives you a credibility.
Credibility, yes.
In order to be able to be more impactful and taken seriously in whatever endeavor you want.
And whatever you do, yeah. No, that's definitely true. So no regrets. It's just, it's that old-fashioned upbringing. And my kids, I don't bring them up that way. Mm-hmm. Even though one does want to be a doctor and the other one is an engineer, which is kind of crazy. Because I said, you can be whatever you want. And that just, that's just what happened. Okay, I am innocent. I'm innocent.
Serious. She's like, it wasn't me.
It was not me. I did not do that. Mm-hmm. So, because I was like saying, you could be an artist, you could be an actor, you could be whatever you want. And that's what happened. So.
But I mean, you know, more power. So, whatever they want to do.
No. And I'm thrilled that I wasn't the one that like put the screws mm-hmm. to them. Like, you have to do this or it's invalid. I mean, you almost mm-hmm. got raised like, nothing else could be valid.
Yeah. I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah. And then
to be invalid.
I have friends that make multiple millions and millions of dollars in the garment industry or I have friends that like are in real estate and why is it their perception that that's the only way you can be financially successful?
I think they wanted stability. I think, yeah. Especially like, you know, our family coming from Iran and, I don't think they wanted me to be a surgeon. Like my dad always used to actually say, what about dermatology?
You know? Okay.
And but I was I'm either becoming a plastic surgeon or I'm not practicing medicine. Like it was for like exactly what you said. Like when you knew, like I did not look back either.
Derm is the best. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying I have never looked back. And yesterday I was on a live with TikTok and the people were asking about derm. I want to match into derm. I'm like, go for it. It's the best. Even if you don't get in the first time, go again because it's the best. But anyway, that's my bias. I'm sure you love what you do. That's a blessing too, just to love the thing that you do.
Yeah.
So... Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks. This was fun. It was really nice fun. Getting to know you finally.
I know. And we have so many parallels. It's crazy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I got to up my game.
Oh my God. People. Stop.
It's true. Okay, babies. That's a wrap.